Welcome back to the Oklahoma Today podcast. I'm your host, Ben Lucian, and we're all friends here, right? Talking to everyone in the room, but also talking to everyone at home, too. They're the best friend of all. They just listen. They judge us, I'm sure, but never to our faces. Everyone needs a friend, and boy, do we have a friend in Howard Styron, president of the Friends of the Wichita's organization, which aims to support the Wichita Mountains Wildlife Refuge through volunteer efforts. Howard is our guest today, telling us everything we need to know about his organization and what you can do to get involved. We'll hear from him more in a minute. But first, how about a word from another one of our friends, Bravada Wireless. You are called to be bold. You have a right to the best wireless service, high-speed internet, and customer service at a price that you can feel good about. At Bravada Wireless, we know this. That's why we put you and your community first. Bravada Wireless, the power of connection. So the Wichita Mountains make for some of the best hiking in the entire state, but Oklahoma is blessed with an abundance of places to take a scenic stroll. So for this question of the week, we wanted to hear about a memorable hike you took somewhere in Oklahoma. Editor-in-Chief Nathan Gunner.
Last year on our anniversary, we went to Beaver's Bend. We stayed in one of the tiny cabins by the river, which were great. And we hiked the Friends Trail, the Friends of Beaver's Bend Trail. It's a really nice trail.
It is. I've been on it.
Yeah, it's great. And there's a waterfall that you can see. And we had an awesome time. So that's the best hike I've taken recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Friends Trail, Beaver's Bend. Yeah.
Friends Trail.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hit it up next time.
Yep, it's fun.
Senior editor Carla Ybarra.
I had a very memorable hike the last time I went to Quartz. We went up the trail to, I believe it is the Sunrise Trail is what it's called. There's a couple different ones, but we go up the mountain and it's fine because we generally follow the trail. And then Philip was like, I don't want to go back down the standard way. Let's go back down a different way. And then we ended up in an area where there wasn't really anywhere to go. You just kind of hop from rocks and then there were cacti and everything. And at one point I was sliding and I fell into a cactus and then my jacket was covered in cactus spines. And it was the longest, 1 mile downward hike I have ever been on. But it was very memorable.
Okay. Here at Oklahoma Today, we recommend sticking to the trails, especially at Quartz Mountain State Park. Yeah.
Uh-huh. It was the way up was amazing, and it was such a great view. If we would have just stuck to the trail, we would have been just fine. So thank you, Philip.
You wouldn't have
I still
good,
love you, though.
You wouldn't have had a great story to tell.
Hiking is a good reminder of just how rugged we are not.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
If we don't have the trail with us, a lot of us are cooked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most of us, in fact.
Yeah. Or stabbed 7,000 times, as it were.
Right.
Yeah.
photo editor Megan Rossman.
I thought that I had gone on a lot of memorable hikes, but I can't really think of them, so I guess they weren't.
Memorable being the key part of it.
But one that is memorable is the time that me and Nathan and Steffi hiked the Black Mesa Trail.
Oh, my God. It's still my favorite photograph of you. I just have this photograph of Megan with, her shoulders slouched, dragging her backpack. It's, the saddest looking photo.
Yeah.
It was hot that day.
I was not real happy. Once we got to the top, I was. But then I got a sunburn on my chest that lasted for 2 years because I didn't think to put sunscreen on anywhere but my face. So remember, when you're hiking, put sunscreen on any area that is exposed.
Very important.
Or else you could.
You can actually get a sunburn under some clothing too, depending on what color you're wearing and how long you're outside and stuff.
Wow.
So yeah, it's definite and definitely reapply sunscreen. That's a mistake a lot of people
take
do.
It with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't leave
it in the car.
Especially if you're a pale person like me.
Research editor Kirsten Stone.
I feel like I had several memorable hikes that came to mind, but the one that I picked was probably the most memorable to me because it's the only one I've ever done like it.
Mm-hmm.
It was several summers ago. My best friend and I decided we would do a sunrise hike in the Wichitas, and so because it was an hour away from our house.
Yeah.
And so we did not go to sleep that night because we're like, this will be easier if we pull an all-nighter. So we stayed up all night binge-watching Netflix, and then we, like, made coffee and stuff, and we left our house, got to there, like, as sunrise was starting, hiked up to the Jed Johnson Tower and watched the sunrise and, like, took, like, some really cool nature photos and just, like, had fun up there. And then we went into Medicine Park and got breakfast and went back home and went to bed.
Nice.
That sounds awesome.
That's a good day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good day. Very cool. I like that. What's yours, Ben?
I've been on a few memorable hikes, but I would say I'm going to tell the story, because some of these stories I've told before, and tell the story of I think maybe the first hike I ever went on, which was with my dad at Greenleaf State Park. And it was me and him. It was a chance. I was maybe, I'm going to say, like 10 years old. And it was like me becoming a man. But we got off the trail somehow and ended up on some kind of nearby military base.
Oh.
Yeah, which was interesting. And in my young mind, I was just... I thought that maybe they were going to, like, attack us or something. Even though that's silly. But I was just 10, so I didn't know for sure. Mm-hmm. But we got off. They saw us, and they pointed us back to the trail, and we got back home.
Oh, okay, so you didn't, like, get arrested.
Yeah. But that was just the first hiking trip I remember taking.
Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good memory.
That is a good one.
You good hiking.
You become a man by trespassing on your military property.
You know, rite of passage. Everyone does it at some point, I think, whether or not they know.
I like that. That was a good question. Did people have things? Did we have social media answers?
We actually did not have.
Aw, y'all.
And I am going to take the fall for that one because we did it a little differently this time. It got posted at like 7 p.m. instead of like 10 a.m. That's supposed to be a peak hour, but I don't think it's a peak hour for people giving answers.
Yeah. Maybe it's not a peak hour for us.
Yeah. Well, it's not, and it was also phrased, it was like, tell us about a hike.
Oh.
And that's like, that implies some labor. You're going to have to write multiple sentences to tell this story.
Five-paragraph AP.
Yeah, people prefer to be like, me walk good on social media.
No,
well,
I
mean, our fans are very, very smart.
Yes. Most of the time.
Most of the time. No, I mean, we're not even smart most of the time.
Exactly.
I'm not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would like to give my answer as me hike good. That would be
me hike good. Me go walk hike. Me see lady.
Yeah, but we got tons of answers on the next one already. So
oh my gosh, the next one's gonna be. I'm excited about next week's podcast. Yeah. That's getting out of hand.
No spoilers though.
It's getting out of hand. Mm. That's okay.
Well, let's hear from someone who's taken more than a few hikes, Howard Styron with the Friends of the Wichitas. All right, so I'm bringing in Howard Styron, the president of the Friends of the Wichitas organization. This is a 501c3 that supports one of my favorite places to hike in Oklahoma, the Wichita Mountains Wildlife Refuge. Howard, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Ben.
Yes. Well, we're excited to have you on the show and to learn more about the Friends of the Wichitas organization. First of all, could you just describe in your own words what is sort of the mission of Friends of the Wichitas?
Okay. The mission of the Friends of the Wichitas is to deepen the appreciation and the support of the Wichita Mountains Wildlife Refuge in the extraordinary landscape and wildlife and cultural resources the refuge is there to protect. That's it in as succinct as I can possibly make it.
Yes. So I know a lot of, first of all, the as I understand it, the wildlife refuge is largely supported and maintained by a large group of, or sometimes large, sometimes maybe not so large, group of volunteers that sort of work to on the upkeep of that, right?
Correct. I mean, it's all through the federal government, the Fish and Wildlife Service, and all that. It's a national wildlife refuge, and to support them, an organization, the Friends of Wichitas, I think it goes back to 1984, I think, is when they were founded. And just a group of citizens got together and said, hey, we've got a a real special place out here. We would like to help. And so over the time, it has evolved into what it is today, which is a critical piece of support for the refuge staff.
Yes. Now, so to volunteer at the Wildlife Refuge, do you need to be a member of the Friends of the Wichitas, or how does that work?
You do not need to be a Friend of the Wichitas. So there's actually kind of separate. There's the refuge volunteers, and then there's the Friends of the Wichitas volunteers. Oftentimes, they're co-mingled and mixed up together, but you do not have to be a member of FOW to volunteer out there.
Right. Yes. Well, Howard, tell me a little bit about how you got involved with Friends of the Wichitas and the refuge in general. I believe, is your wife on the board at Friends of the Wichitas also? Am I right about
that? Yeah, she is. Yeah, my wife, Mary, she's on the board as well. And I got involved in it probably 26, 28 years ago, something like that. And my brother was volunteering out there for the Friends, and he was driving a bus. He was a school teacher. He had his bus driver's license. At that time, I had my CDL, and I was about ready to let it expire. And he just said, hey, we could use some more bus drivers out here. So just in time to keep my CDL from expiring, I started driving the tour bus, the volunteer school, the bus out there for the Friends. And I did that. I've been doing that ever since. And that's how I got involved initially with the Friends.
That's really interesting. So are you from the Lawton area, or where are you from?
Well, my association with the Wichita Mountains refuges goes way back. I grew up in Hobart, Oklahoma. It's about 50, 60 miles from here. And I remember quite well on a Friday afternoon, our scout leader loading us up on a yellow school bus from the school. And we would all load up with all our camping gear, and we would just drive over to the refuge, and it opened the doors. We would just pile out at one of the campgrounds and spend the weekend there exploring the refuge and camping. We did that in the summer and in the cold freezing winter, but it was just great memories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you started out driving, I guess, like sort of tour buses for the refuge. What was that like, that whole experience?
Well, as I say a lot, I got the best seat in the house.
Yeah.
They're right in the front. I don't have any obstruction of the view. And I've been on many, many of these things. And every time I go, I see something new and different, and then just enjoy being out there.
Mm-hmm.
But to interact with the people that have never been to the refuge, some have been out there many times. Some of our tours actually go back into the special use area, which is about 2/3 of the refuge that the public can't get back to unless you're on a authorized trip of some sort. Mm-hmm. They've got research people that go back there. They've got some other rangers that go back there. But the general public is basically restricted to about 1/3 of the refuge. But to get across that fence, you have to be on a sanctioned event. And some of our tours go back there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's really cool. You get to see things that even a lot of people don't normally get to see. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And there's wildlife on both sides of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
But I think over time, the majority of the wildlife has migrated over to where they don't have to deal with the noise and the busyness of the public. And so there's plenty of wildlife on the other side of the fence. This is as there is in the public use. I mean, you can see everything on both sides.
Right. Okay, so you started out driving the bus, but how did you get from there to being involved as like the president of the Friends of the Wichitas? How did you get there?
Well, I was, like I said, I've been involved with it for 20 plus years. And then we were looking, we've got a board of directors, and the board's always looking for someone to serve on the board of directors. And somewhere along the line, I was approached to serve on the board of directors, and I accepted and got elected to the board of directors. And I've been doing that on the board for the last 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, we had some changes in presidency and all that, and I became the president here last November.
Right. So as the president, what are some of your duties, I guess, within the organization to jump on podcast interviews with?
That's one of the benefits, I think, Ben.
Yeah.
But for example, just last night we had our board meeting and I put together the agenda and monitor the entire board because everything's decided by the board. And certain things have to be voted and discussed, and we put committees together to research things, and then the committee makes a report and a recommendation to the board, and then we vote for whatever happens to be, if it's to fund a certain project or to get involved in a certain grant or a certain program that's going on. It's really critical we have good people working on the board, and we're so fortunate. I've got 11 people that sit on our board that really help out.
Yes. Can you talk about some of the specific things that you all do to support the refuge, be it through, you mentioned like grant programs or just sort of anything else that you all do just to support the refuge?
Okay. We've got a number of years ago, we took over, there's a nature store, a gift shop inside the visitor center there at the refuge. And now that is run by the Friends. And we we operate it, and we get the revenue from it and pay the expenses and all that. And it's been quite a blessing for the refuge, because now we've got something that can generate revenue that we can use directly for this refuge, not any other refuge, but this refuge. And I think that's what's great about it. And so that's our machine. That's our engine that generates revenue. And I'll just give you one example, Ben. Maybe less than a year ago, the refuge staff was notified that the company that was collecting all their dumpster trash every week was suspending operations, and they had no warning. Okay.
Wow.
And can you imagine that refuge gets about 2 million visitors a year.
Yeah.
You could go for, and it might take a month or month and a half, 2 months before the refuge could get another contract for a company to come in and collect the trash out of those dumpsters at all the different campsites and visitors. Can you imagine what that place would have looked like if no trash would have been picked up for 2 months?
Right. No, that's a vital service.
So here come the Friends to the rescue. They come to us and say, our contracting restrictions, we don't have the authority to get a contract this size. We have to go through the whole process. The Friends of the Wichita wrote a check for about $10,000. And they got another company come in and didn't miss a day.
Yeah.
And that's where we can kind of come, the cavalry comes to the rescue at the last minute. Right. There's other projects. We just finished up the building on the refuge that they decided to convert into a bunkhouse. The refuge often gets people to come on a temporary basis to visit the refuge as internships or special studies or whatever. And instead of paying a per diem, putting people downtown or whatever, they want a place, they call it the bunkhouse. Well, the Friends, again, help fund the entire renovation of that thing, new roof, new siding, remodeled the inside, helped out with all new appliances inside. And so now the refuge has got a good place perfect for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it didn't go through the federal government. It was the Friends wrote the check and helped fund that project.
Right.
That's just one of many, many different projects we helped out with.
Yes. Do the funds primarily come from, you mentioned that the Friends run the gift shop. Is that where the funds primarily come from?
The majority of them, yes. We've also, if you're going to be a member of the Friends, we collect membership dues. It's $25 per individual per year, a family for $40 per year, or you can become a lifetime member, and we've got different levels of that.
Mm-hmm.
We also, different places where we get donations from people that think it's important and we do great work. And I think it's terrific that we can sit and say that the money that's contributed to the Friends of the Wichitas, it doesn't go into a big national pot of money. It's
right.
It's money that stays at this refuge and helps our refuge.
Right. Yes. I imagine for people who, and there's a lot of people out there who do really love the refuge, It would be really rewarding to be a part of that organization to actually contribute to making a better place and keeping a good place, you know?
Yeah, and you're talking about the people that have the same frame of mind you do. They're friendly, they're outgoing, they want to be outside, they think it's important, and it's a great way to kind of network and build your friendships. I don't think you can have too many friends.
No, I don't think so. I'll let you know if I get to that point, though.
All right.
So, Howard, you've been around the refuge for many years. Is there a certain spot in the refuge that really stands out to you as, like, your favorite or, I don't know, or a place that's really special to you?
Well, that's a tough one, Ben, because the whole place is terrific. I mean, I love going up the top of Mount Scott. Mm-hmm. On a clear day, you can see forever up there.
Yeah.
And other places in the refuge where I used to go camping as a Boy Scout, I was just out there last weekend hiking with my wife, and I started getting these little flashbacks about when I was out there as a kid running around, pitching my pup tent and having fun out there. Just the hiking and everything else. It's just a terrific. But I do like to fly fish. Mm-hmm. And so probably one of my favorite places to go out and wade out into part of Quanah Lake out there and just on an early morning when the wind's not blowing.
Yeah.
It's nice. And you can sit there and just fly fish. And you can hear the coyotes yapping. Or you look around and you see a longhorn. A steer coming by and kind of grunting or whatever came down to get a drink of water. So it's really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. You can't really beat, I come from a fishing family. So there's just, it can't get more relaxing than that sometimes, you know? So Howard, has your appreciation for nature and just the wildlife and the refuge, has it changed since or grown since you've been involved with the organization?
I think so. And the restrictions out there have kind of gotten tighter. They're trying to get less and less of a human footprint.
Mm.
And some people don't understand that, but you basically, it's a wildlife refuge. It's not a national park. It's different than Yellowstone National Park. A park is designed for people to really get out and enjoy it and all that, whereas a national refuge is primarily there to maintain the habitat.
It's a good point.
Maintain a place for the wildlife. And humans are kind of further down the totem pole as far as their priority. And so sometimes those things kind of come into conflict. And I think it's all good that because if we don't protect this environment and the things that it represents out there, it could be gone.
Right.
Be gone very quickly and very easily.
Yes. So if someone is hearing this and they're interested in maybe joining the Friends of the Wichitas, what should they do? How can they get involved?
The easiest way is Google Friends of the Wichitas or just type in Friends of the Wichitas in your browser and you'll come up to our webpage. And we've got a great webpage and has all the different tabs at the top on what we do, the tours that we offer, membership, donations, who's on the board, has our board member emails on there if you need to contact anyone. So it's really pretty easy. We also have a Facebook page that's maintained by one of our members, and to try to keep information in our face out in front of the public. So we should be pretty easy to find.
Yes. So does Friends of the Wichitas, do you all actually organize some of your own tours at the refuge?
Well, everything has to be okayed by the refuge staff.
Yeah.
But we have a set number of standing tours that go throughout the year. And once we've kind of put them together, the timing and all that, then we run it through the refuge manager and her staff. And then they bless it. And then now we can put it out there. But we use the refuges. They've got a 30-passenger bus that we're the driver. The Friends of Wichitas provide all the support for it as far as the drivers and the people that lead those tours. We have someone that's a lead tour, and then we also have two or three people that assist. And that's just to help set up, depending on what we're doing, help people get on and off the bus, set up scopes to view the wildlife, whatever we happen to do. So it's we normally take reservations, and we could take up to 30 people on that bus.
Yes. Is there a need for people who want to volunteer their time and energy to supporting the refuge? Is there a need for volunteers like that to get involved?
I will say yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the quickest answer. But we also put out a newsletter every month, and the first article in that newsletter is the president's part. And so the last 2 months I've done it, I've put out an appeal for people to volunteer. We need people that have kind of special skills, people that like to do special skills on maybe grant writing.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we're doing a big grant right now. And it'd be nice to have some other people have experience in writing grants. We need people that have experience on social media,
mm-hmm.
on how to capture and the data and the potential of social media. Although we have some, we just got people who've been doing it. They're the only ones doing it, and they've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
And it'd be great to have someone to step in and say, hey, I can help you do this. Specifically, I need someone that would help take over the membership,
mm-hmm.
keeping track of all. We've got 350 members,
mm-hmm.
and keeping track of their change of addresses and their when their memberships expire, and collecting the dues and getting all that done. I mean, that's a job. And we've got one lady, bless her heart, she needs some help. And I'm always on the lookout to see if I can find someone else to help Molly. She's done a terrific job for us.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Molly, if you're listening.
Yeah. Thank you, Molly. And thank you, Lisa, for the newsletter. And there's some people just kind of get those jobs, and man, they just over years they just need some help, and I'm looking for help.
Yes. If someone wants to volunteer in that capacity, should they just go reach out to the Friends of the Wichitas, or where would you direct them to?
I would say go to our website, Friends of the Wichitas, and that back towards the back, they can email me. It has my email is president@friendsofthewichitas.org. And just email me. And my appeals the last few months, I've gotten a number of people come up and said, hey, my daughter and I would like to volunteer out there. And we're pretty keen on social media. We'd like to help you.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm getting some success, but we could sure use some more.
For sure. Yes. Yeah. So president at, you said friendsofthewichitas.com?
.org.
.org.
.org. President at, and it's on at the back of our website.
Yes.
And I just kind of click on it, and boom, you can send me an email.
Very
good. I'll be the traffic cop. I'll direct people to who it is that can maybe explain to me what we're looking for and how they could help.
Very good. Yeah. So people can check out, you can go online and find out more about Friends of the Wichitas. Also, we have a story in Oklahoma Today's March, April issue out right now that talks about.
I read that last night.
Yeah. It's just the new magazine just hit, but when we're recording this, it just hit newsstand. So subscribers should have it now. And if you don't have it yet, you can go pick it up at your favorite bookstore or, wherever magazines are sold pretty much. So you can learn more about Friends of the Wichitas there. And Howard, thank you so much for your time. I learned a lot today.
Well, again, thank you for having us. And we're always looking for volunteers, looking for members, and people that want to support something that we hold very close and dear to our hearts.
Yes. And I think a lot of Oklahomans hold it dear to them.
It's quite a unique. I've had people down here, they said, I didn't even know this place existed. Probably about 2 months ago, I had a family from up around Tulsa. They didn't even know about the Wichita Mountains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, people need to know because it's a cool place. All right. Thank you, Howard.
All right. Take care, man.
I like that we had Kirsten's Wichitas story and then we went into the Wichitas.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice. That was nice. The Wichitas are awesome.
Yes, mm-hmm. they are. And we had a story about Friends of the Wichitas in our March-April issue.
We did. And then in our May-June issue, which should be dropping in the mail today.
Mm-hmm.
as this podcast is airing. There's another story about the prairie dogs and the Wichitas that you did in your section, Carly. That was really, really, really good.
Well, there's so much going on in the Wichitas. You can't really ever write enough about it.
I know. It's so great.
A beautiful illustration of them in the Wichitas.
And there are prairie dogs on both pages. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great.
Prairie dogs are such a delight.
They are.
That was my favorite animal as a kid, I think.
Really?
Yeah, just if there were prairie dogs, I would like spend an hour watching them, like at Martin Nature Center, back when they had prairie dogs.
Something I find very interesting about them is how divisive they are, because, like, you know, most people you meet think they're cute and everything, but farmers hate them.
Farmers do not
like them. Because the cows might step in the holes and break their legs, mm-hmm. or the horse, you know, there's all kinds of things that can happen. So, like, my mother-in-law hates prairie dogs with a fiery passion.
I think they're, you know, they're fine when you can stay far away from them and watch them from way over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any crops, so
I don't want to pet one.
No. Or wiring or that cows. They can chew up, like in Lawton. They cause $60,000 worth of damage to holiday light displays.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. And that's like,
That's hilarious. It's not hilarious.
Not if you're the city of Lawton.
I was going to say, if you're in charge of light displays for the city of Lawton, I bet it was not a fun day for you.
No. I wonder, did they electrocute themselves? Or, I just want to know more. I'm going to have to Google
They didn't say.
Our story doesn't say.
Yeah.
Okay. No. I think that would be unpleasant.
I hope not, too.
We'll try to find an answer for you and get back to you on that one. You all want to do Pyrovins?
Yeah.
Yes. So every week we go through the Travel OK events calendar and pick out some of our favorites. Is there anyone who would like to go first?
I want to go.
All right.
All right, Kirsten. So Kirsten. All right. The newbie volunteers. I like this.
Not really. So, on April 22nd, 1889, thousands waited on the borders of unassigned land in central Oklahoma, waiting for the first land run to begin. In less than 12 hours that day, the city of Guthrie grew from being just patches of prairie grass into a tent city of more than 10,000 people. Flash forward to today, and although there isn't another land run planned, there are plans to pack the same grounds with people from all over coming to celebrate this historical event. The 89er Day celebration will be hosted in downtown Guthrie throughout the week, beginning April 16th going through the 20th. It'll kick off with the annual Chuck Wagon Feed and continue with auctions, a carnival, and arts and crafts shows. And the festivities will come to a close Saturday with the 89er Parade during the day and a rodeo at night. For more information, call 405-282-2589 or visit 89erdays.com.
That sounds like fun.
It really does.
Guthrie's always, it's always a good time to go to Guthrie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool.
Nate, what's your event this time?
Okay, so you guys know that phrase, as American as apple pie?
Mm-hmm.
Help me think of the Oklahoma version of that. As Oklahoman as...
Del Rancho.
Del Rancho. That's good. Does anyone challenge Del Rancho, or can we just...
Queso.
Queso. Free queso.
Free queso.
As Oklahoman as free queso. That's a good one. Okay. Yeah. Anybody else got
onion
one?
Onion burgers.
As Oklahoman as onion burgers. Okay, we're very food-focused people here. I'm seeing.
It doesn't have to be food.
As Oklahoma as a sudden thunderstorm.
Yeah. That's lovely. Well, okay, so did you have one? Did you have an Oklahoman as?
How about as Oklahoman as a sunset on the prairie?
Oh, beautiful. Wow. Good. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, so if I'm going to say that if there is anything that's as Oklahoman as a sunset on the prairie or Del Rancho or free queso, it is Coop Ale Works. Long before the state was a veritable garden of breweries, Coop was doing its thing with great beers like the F5 IPA, Horny Toad Blonde, Native Amber, or Saturday Siren Dry Hopped Pills, all of which are delicious. So celebrate this extremely Oklahoman brewery at the Coop Ale Works 15th anniversary party at the Coop Ale Works Brewery from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, April 20th, and 4 to 8 p.m. Sunday, April 21st. You can sample Coop's legendary brews and some new specials. You can play games, enjoy food trucks, and get in on some special limited edition merch. VIP ticket holders will even get specialty Coop Ale Works glassware and a 4-pack of the anniversary beer to enjoy at home. For tickets or more information, call 918-916-2360 or visit coopaleworks.com and click the little calendar icon at the top left of the screen.
Nice. It's crazy to think that I've been drinking these Coop beers for such a big chunk of my life now. Like, 15 years?
Well, 15 years ago, you weren't legal to drink.
No, I know. But those were some. These were some of the first, like.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like you were drinking them 15 years ago. I'm like, Ben. Benjamin.
15, no, I wasn't legal.
No.
Yeah, close though.
Close, but not.
You've been quite drinking there. Them for a long time.
You've been drinking them since it was legal for you to do so.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. No, they're good beers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of the Horny Toad Blonde. That's a good one.
Yes.
You can get it like anywhere too. That's what's always nice. Yeah.
Well, my point was that there's so many.
Oh yeah.
The brewery scene has popped up in OKC in recent years.
Yeah, they kind of.
But Coop has been around for such a long time.
I don't want to say they started that whole thing, but they really. It blew up with them.
Yes,
I feel like they really blew the scene wide open.
Well, they were one of the people there first.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. So good for them. Way to go, Coop! Happy birthday,
Carly. What is your event this week?
It's a good one. Have you always fantasized about joining social justice warrior Robin of Loxley and his band of merry men? Or do you still have a crush on that cartoon fox from the objectively best Robin Hood movie? Well, at Total Archery Challenge in Broken Bow, Shirley, Oklahoma's own Sherwood Forest, you can live some of your dreams. From April 19th to 21st, youths ages 6 to 15 and adults will be targeting more than 100 3D objects to see if their aim is true. Kids can even try their little bows on a course that includes dinosaurs and zombies. There also will be chances to win or buy new outdoor gear. If you were hoping to win the hand of your own Robin or Maid Marian, that's probably not going to happen, but perhaps it was the hero inside yourself you needed to find all along. Participation starts at $60 per day. Go to facebook.com/totalarcherychallenge to find out how to register. God, archery is like so fun. Cool.
It is cool. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
That's what I was about to say. It's hard.
It's really tough to do. Yeah.
I used to have a bow as a kid.
It's a lot easier to shoot things.
Did you know how to use it?
Yeah, I was like fairly decent at it.
Yeah. Wow.
I just want to say, like, I'm not big on hunting because I think it's totally unfair, but bow hunting is cool.
No, bow hunting is awesome.
If you can go out into the forest with a bow and arrow and bring back dinner, that's pretty great.
Yeah, that's cool. It's not as impressive with an AR-15 as it is with a bow.
Yeah.
Anybody can kill anything with an AR-15. I mean, come on, there's no skill involved.
No sport to it. I know, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to shoot with the bow, but then I discovered Oklahoma Craft Brews, and
it was all over.
I was just done with the archery at that point.
The one time I ever tried archery, I was so bad at it that I got in trouble.
Because
they thought I was trying to be funny. That's how bad it was. They were like, stop kidding around. I'm like, I'm not. I'm just really bad at this.
Right. Yeah.
So
at least it's not really embarrassing to be bad at it. I mean, who is good at archery anymore? Besides the people who are going to say, the total
people.
Archery.
Yeah.
Yes, those people.
Katniss Everdeen.
You'll have them all gathered in one minute.
Yeah.
Megan Rossman, what is your event?
Well, everyone is familiar with the story about an unworldly young beggar and thief whose stupid purchase pans out when his beans turn out to be magic and allow him to rob and murder a giant in the sky to feed himself and his cash-strapped single mother. The Tulsa Ballet will present a more bright and fun take on the morally ambiguous fairy tale Jack and the Beanstalk on April 19th and 20th, with four performances at the Zero Studio at the Hardesty Art Center for Dance Education in Broken Arrow. With colorful sets featuring castles in the sky, beautiful costumes, music and choreography, and narration by story adapter Dan McGeehan, these performances are sure to delight adults and children. In fact, two of the shows are already sold out, so visit TulsaBallet.org soon to get your tickets before there are none left.
But that's going to be really good.
I think I like Megan's version of the story.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. That's telling.
Well, I was trying to remember the plot of it, and I was like, you know what? This giant was just minding his own business, and he just kept stealing from him. And
exactly.
You know, I would grind his bones too.
There was a Rick and Morty episode about this where they put them on trial.
Yeah. Like it's a little. A lot of these fairy tales, if you look at it, you're like, what was the lesson here? What were we like?
Be lucky. I think that's a lot of fairy tale lessons is just be lucky.
I mean, there's a part of me that's like, well, you know, like that giant had more than he needed. He could give some to Jack, but like that should have been his choice. It shouldn't have been stolen.
Also,
from him.
The giant didn't know Jack existed. He lived in a castle in the sky. How is he supposed to know there's poor little people on the ground?
Yeah. Also, it's just a real. I think Jack was kind of a jerk.
But really, you're a giant and you live in a castle up in the sky.
Well,
I mean, come on. With your energy bills. Just saying. Castles don't just stay up in the sky.
It was the giant's wife who was feeding Jack, and like she knew he was there, and like he was robbing her husband every night, and she was just letting it happen. Like, it's
it sounds like there's a lot of blame to go around.
I was gonna say, it sounds like a Reddit post. AITA.
I'm just taking this story too seriously.
No, I think everyone in that story has fault. I've done this at a performance. Everyone is at fault in this story, and everyone has a thing.
Everyone should be in jail chaos. In that story.
I'd like to see that performance. Like,
totally. Yeah.
Anyway,
Ben, what's your morally ambiguous event that you have for us this week?
That's funny because that is the exact phrase I had for the situation that you just said. Happy Earth Day to you. Happy Earth Day to you. Happy Earth Day, dear third planet from the sun. Happy Earth Day to you. Well, this one hits close to home for me. It might come as a surprise to some of the people in this room, but I am actually from Earth, born and raised. It's customary on my planet to celebrate our world and the life it gives us once a year, every April 22nd. Though I often feel like Oklahoma is the center of the universe, is actually located on this planet as well. And Earth Day is celebrated far and wide here, especially by the Oklahoma State Parks. There are Earth Day celebrations taking place at many state parks within the system this week, so you can pregame that weekend for the big day the following Monday. Participate in trash hikes to pick up debris and make the trails pretty, craft seed bombs to help spread native plants, or build a cozy shelter for native bees. Those under 18 can also enter a recycled art contest with a number of age range categories. These Earth Day events will take place on either Saturday or Sunday, depending on the park, at a number of locations, including Greenleaf and Beggs, Keystone and Sand Springs, Grand Lake and Bernice, Sequoia and Holbert, and so many more. Check out travelok.com/state-parks for more information before you go. Participation in the Earth Day activities is free, but regular fees for parking and or lodging in the park still apply.
That's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to spend time in a park.
Yeah.
Celebrating the Earth.
Well, I can't think of a better way to celebrate Earth Day. Really. Yeah.
Staying inside with the air conditioning on, watching TV. No. Yeah,
being
that's great.
Some, emerged in the wild.
That's perfect. Yeah, I love that. Love, love, love.
All right. Well, do you all want to do the star of the show?
Who is the star of the show?
Well, I've got to give it to the moral ambiguity of Jack and the Beanstalk, that tale. I've never really thought of it. That deeply.
Like
you scratch the surface of any fairy tale and you start to go, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But leave it to Megan to make me think about things more deeply than I ever
had. It's one of the things she's so great at. That's one of the reasons we love her.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Well, if you like the show and you still can't get enough, head to oklahomatoday.com or pick up our latest issue on newsstands right now. Send your feedback to oktpod@travelok.com. We'll talk to you again next week. The Oklahoma Today podcast is a production of Oklahoma Today magazine and the Oklahoma Tourism and Recreation Department. Your hosts are Oklahoma Today editors Nathan Gunner, Carly Ibarra, Megan Rossman, Kirsten Stone, and Ben Lucian. Theme song, editing, and production help by Oklahoma Today's production manager, Bridget Sloan. For more information, visit oklahomatoday.com.
Wait,
goodbye.
Oh, I am sorry.
Two car pileup.
Yeah.
Did Bridget write the theme song?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that it was music that was like pulled. I didn't realize
you thought it was
she
like stock.
It. Yeah.
No, man, she wrote that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It sounds like the beginning of like Succession or something, you know, like very serious.
Yeah.
It really is.
Bridget's a musician, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool.
I know. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Yeah.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Carly. Carly was just like, wait, can I?
Goodbye.